We'll now be blessed with a special. Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful special. You know, I've known my brother Jerry for many years. We first met when we were small children, when his parents used to come to Colorado to visit relatives. And it is good to have him here with us this evening. And I know that he has prepared a message for us. And I would now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Jerry Case.
Thank you. Can everybody hear okay? I'm not used to a microphone at our house. I saw many of you in January in Austria. It was neat to get to meet together there in the home of the Trojans. And I have, since that time, just kind of gone straight from one thing to the next. I've just been overwhelmed, just so busy. And it seems like within our company, so many things are at a crisis level. And I say that, although that's the kind of pressure you get, I have to say that I say that tongue-in-cheek. You try to warn people, you try to take care of things, and when they don't take care of it and it breaks, then you're supposed to come and fix it, and you're supposed to do it immediately, you know. And so you come under a lot of pressure. But, you know, I could say a whole lot, but the end of the story is I kind of came into this vacation just looking for the finish line. I needed a break so bad, just so much pressure, and just tired. And so so I came to Amy's house to fix the floor, you know. I'm just really just tickled to get to stand before you. And although I'm tired, and the reason I tell you that, the reason I tell you that it's been hard to try to get to study or to prepare is because I want you to know that what I stand in is the strength, the same strength that Gideon stood in. It's the strength of God. I'm delighted. And I can't help but just feel like my prayer is, put me in, Coach. Put me in. I want to preach. I want to tell of his goodness. I got to stand here this morning and participate in the blessing of my second grandchild. And I had a thought right at the first as we were holding him, and I looked down and he was just smiling. And I got to thinking, you know, wow. Look what God can do with dust. And that's you and I. I was thinking about this, about tonight, about this foolishness of preaching. And why is it that we come together and that we meet like this in a building? And I know that there's many reasons. Sometimes we come and the sermon is almost like a college, you know. You come and you're given a lot of things and you just learn. And sometimes you come and it touches the very heart of your soul and how you should behave and how you should submit yourself to God. And you become inspired in a different way. And I got to thinking about my memories of school and how we came together and we would study, and there was this time of real order where you're all together and you're studying and you're learning and your things are under control. And not too many kids really get in trouble during that period of time. But then you go out to recess, and it changes into this whole other society where you have this pecking order and you have the bullies. You have the little scared kids. You have your own brand of terrorists. You have the little ones that's going to stay out by themselves, and they're always peaceable, and they get along, and they play, and they have fun. But I think about, where is church? Where is it that we literally live this life of privilege that God presents to us? I think of the testimonies this morning, and And we got to hear several illustrations of that. Chris told about just being home, starting out the day, and just being able to bask in God's Spirit. Adam talked about, I think he was driving. Was that when? So when is it we do church? I think it's just got to be every day. And it's got to be every moment. And we got to lay ourselves down unto Him at night. And we got to pick ourselves up unto Him in the morning, unto God. And I also, my mind has been drawn to the fact that this is the 3rd of July. And tomorrow's the 4th. It's a day that our country has chosen to celebrate our independence. But now I'd like to talk to you about your patriotic duty. Back on page, I believe it's 34 in your Book of Mormon, I'm going to read some out of Nephi's vision. This is the first book of Nephi, chapter 3. And I'm going to start with verse 145. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld many waters, and they divided the Gentiles from the seed of my brethren. And it came to pass that the angels saith unto me, Behold, the wrath of God is upon the seed of thy brethren. And I looked and beheld a man among the Gentiles, which was separated from the seed of my brethren by the many waters. And I beheld the Spirit of God that it came down and wrought upon the man, and he went forth upon the many waters, even unto the seed of my brethren, which were in the promised land. And it came to pass that I beheld the Spirit of God, that it wrought upon other Gentiles, and they went forth out of captivity upon the many waters. And it came to pass that I beheld many multitudes of the Gentiles upon the land of promise. And I beheld the wrath of God, that it was upon the seed of my brethren, and they were scattered before the Gentiles, and they were smitten. And I beheld the Spirit of the Lord, that it was upon the Gentiles, and they did prosper, and obtained the land for their inheritance. And I beheld that they were white and exceeding fair and beautiful, like unto my people before they were slain. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles which had gone forth out of captivity did humble themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. And I beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters and upon the land also, to battle against them. And I beheld that the power of God was with them, and also that the wrath of God was upon all them that were gathered together against them to battle. And I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles which had gone out of captivity were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land. What's this reading about? Is it talking about an occasion in history? Go ahead, tell me, what occasion?
Establishment of the United States of America.
Yes, it is. The establishment of the United States of America. What was the power that delivered those people out of captivity? It was the power of God. But I think it's important to realize that it is none other. It is none other. It is the power of God. And he goes on here and he tells about the things that he saw. He saw the coming forth of a book upon this land that was brought forth over here. It came forth out of the mouth of a Jew, and it describes basically the history of the Bible, of that record and how it was brought over here. And then it talks about the Book of Mormon and how it was to work together with that Bible. And then how it would restore many of the things that are plain and precious that were taken forth, taken away from that book that came out of the mouth of a Jew. I'm going to skip a few pages that talk about that story. I think I'm going to start reading on page 38. It's verse 192. And the angel spake unto me, saying, "These last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first, which are of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them. And shall make known to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto Him, or they cannot be saved. And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed, as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wherefore, they both shall be established in one, for there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles. And after that he hath manifested himself unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles and also unto the Jews. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day, that he shall manifest himself unto them in word and also in power, in very deed, unto the taking away of their stumbling blocks, if it so be that they harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God. And if it so be that they harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, they shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. Yea, they shall be numbered among the house of Israel. And they shall be a blessed people upon the promised land forever." That's a promise. "And they shall be a blessed people upon the promised land forever. If it so be that they believe. They shall be no more brought down into captivity, and the house of Israel shall no more be confounded. And that great pit which hath been dug for them by that great and abominable church, which is founded by the devil and his children, that he might lead away the souls of men down to hell. Yea, that great pit which hath been digged for the destruction of man shall be filled by those who digged it unto their utter destruction, saith the Lamb of God. Not the destruction of the soul, save it be the casting of it into that hell which hath no end. For behold, this is according to the captivity of the devil, and also according to the justice of God upon all those who will work wickedness and abomination before him. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, Nephi, saying, Thou hast beheld that if the Gentiles repent, it shall be well with them. And thou also knowest concerning the covenants of the Lord unto the house of Israel, and thou also hast heard that whoso repenteth not must perish. Therefore woe be unto the Gentiles, if it so be that they harden their hearts against the Lamb of God. For the time cometh, saith the Lamb of God, that I will work a great and a marvelous work among the children of men, a work which shall be everlasting, either on the one hand or on the other, either to the convincing of them unto peace and life eternal, or unto the deliverance of them to the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, unto their being brought down into captivity and also unto destruction, both temporally and spiritually, according to the captivity of the devil of which I have spoken. And it came to pass that when the angel had spoken these words, he saith unto me, Remember thou the covenants of the Father unto the house of Israel. That was a question. I'll read it again. Remember thou the covenants of the house of the Father unto the house of Israel? And I saith unto him, Yea. And it came to pass that he saith unto me, Look, and I behold a great and an abominable church, which is the mother of abominations, whose founder is the devil. And I'm gonna read on more, but I wanted to stop for a little bit, and I want you to maybe the words wake up a little. I want you to think a little about the day that we live in and the things that we see going on. And if I present to you this alternative, if I give you the foundation, the knowledge that it's God that preserves this promised land, it's God that creates prosperity for the people on this land, and that if it so be that we follow Him, that's what we'll be able to partake of. That will be our privilege. It's His blessings and His prosperity. And if we don't, then He'll destroy us. He'll wipe us off of the land. It makes the things that are going on today look pretty threatening. And you know, I think sometimes we try to think about going out there and fighting the good fight and waking people up. Waking them up to a knowledge of their God and the fact that it's He that lends them breath. It's He that created them out of the dust of the earth, and without Him, they will be no more. Sometimes it seems like it would be easier if they were just wholly evil. But that's not necessarily what we find. What we find is a fat, satisfied people with churches that have phenomenal, I can't talk right now. Churches that have phenomenal population. They have services that are number in the thousands, and they have four or five of these every weekend. And these people, I've talked to many of them, and it's their idea of church is, it's almost like this club. You know, when we moved out to Cincinnati, one of the things we did once we kind of got our finances established and everything, we decided to join the Y. And so we joined the YMCA, and so we could go over there in the winter and still get a lot of exercise and stuff, and not that we've been all that good at it. But the reason I say that is that's how they join a church. It's which club has the meal that suits my palate today. I was sitting in the barber's chair. It's probably been 6 months ago. And the barber told me a joke that I told Jay yesterday. And it goes something like this. This ship was sailing out across the ocean, and as it was going by an island, it saw three huts on this beach. And they sent word up to the captain, and they said, There's huts on that beach. And he said, But that's an uninhabited island. There's nobody there. We better go investigate. So they got up close to the island, and as they drew close to the island and they blew their horn, this man just came running out of one of those huts, and he was waving his arms and rejoicing, and they came in onto shore, and they rescued him, and he said, Okay, let's go. And they said, Well, wait. where's the other people? And he says, well, I'm the only one. I'm by myself. He says, well, there's three huts. What was the one you came out of? He goes, oh, well, that's my home. That's where I live. Well, then what's this other hut? And he says, well, that's where I go to church. And he says, but there's three. What's this other one? And he says, oh, that's where I used to go to church. And I don't mean to just make light of it, but I'm trying to illustrate the way people look at what church is today. They want great numbers, and they want some smorgasbord of entertainment. And I assure you, tonight, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not. And I'm here in urgency. And I'm here because of your soul. And I'm here, honestly, because of mine. And I actually got to grow up in that kind of environment. I got to grow up with that feeling in my soul. Actually not realizing there was such an anesthesia out there that is what's called church in this world. It's somehow it's gotten clear away from God. Well, how do we go before these people? And I do feel the frustration of this. And I'll tell you the truth. Living out in Ohio by myself, I have to tell you my the feeling in my heart, the prayer. My heart, you know, it's like the old sailor's prayer. God, the sea is so big. My boat is so small. I want to read on. I think I last read page 40, verse 217, and I'm going to start by repeating 217, and I'll read on. And it came to pass that when the angel had spoken these words, he saith unto me, remember thou the covenants of the Father unto the house of Israel? And I saith unto him, yea. And it came to pass that he saith unto me, look, and behold that great and abominable church, which is the mother of abominations, whose founder is the devil. And he saith unto me, behold, there are, save it be, two churches. One is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb of God belongeth to that great church, which is the mother of abominations, and she is the whore of all the earth. And I wonder if sometimes we realize what that means, the whore of all the earth. It's just there to give them the desires of their fleshly heart. It is the whore of all the earth. And it came to pass, I looked and beheld the whore of all the earth, and she sat upon many waters, and she had dominion over all the earth, among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people. Yeah, my boat is so small. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and abominations of the whore, which sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, which were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth. And their dominions upon the face of the earth were small because of the wickedness of the great whore which I saw. And I want to say just a couple words. Unfortunately, those couple words aren't for most people that are here. But I want you to know them too. I think it's significant. It says that that the Church of the Lamb of God had dominions. Though they were small, they were upon all the face of the earth. I had the privilege, like I said, back in January, of getting to spend some time with the Trojans. And one of the things that Dennis and I talked, just when we were traveling in the car a little bit, just, it was the three of us, but his wife was asleep. But he and I were talking about these things and how sometimes it just feels so confusing to be scattered out across the land, to be out there kind of by yourself, and it feels like your efforts are a frustration. You don't count all the success in earthly terms at all. And yet you keep trying to live and you keep trying to sow seed. It's all you know to do. But in spite of the fact that it's a frustration, it says that we're going to be scattered among all the faiths of the land. So it's as it's supposed to be. And we are small. Have you thought about Gideon recently? I'm always fascinated by that. It's in Judges. And I'm going to start reading the sixth chapter of Judges. Because I think it's significant to hear Gideon's reaction when the Lord sent a messenger to tell him that he was going to overthrow the Midianites and that he was going to use him to do it. I'm going to start with the 11th verse of that sixth chapter of Judges. It says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat upon an oak, which was in Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash, and a Abiezrite," peanut butter or whatever that is. "And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, 'The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said unto him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' And the Lord looked upon him and said, 'Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?' And he said unto him, 'O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my father is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.'" So, did he have any confidence that he could defeat the Midianites? No. No. Absolutely none. But let's turn over to the seventh chapter. But, you know, I don't need to read it. I can summarize it. He asked for a sign that this was true. And the Lord sent him several signs. I remember one of them was, he said, "Well, if it's true, if you are going to use me to deliver the children of Israel from the Midianites, then I will put a fleece on the ground. And the fleece will have dew on it, and the ground around it will be completely dry." And so he got up the next morning, and the fleece was so wet with dew that he wrung it out, and it wrung out a whole bowl of water. and the ground around it was completely dry. And so he said, okay, I'll do it. No. He said, well, don't be mad, but okay, tomorrow morning, I'll put the fleece out tonight, and the fleece will be completely dry, and the ground around it will all be wet. And the Lord did it. He said, yeah, I'm gonna use you. And so he finally convinced him. And so Gideon gathered together the men, and he was going to go to battle. And the Lord said, no, you have too many men. He said, I can't, with this many men, deliver you from the Midianites. And so, because, remember, it's not about the number of men at all. And it's not about Gideon's great power at all. It is completely about God. It's about His power. He is in charge. It was His plan from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is totally His. So He said, go to your army, and if any of them are afraid, send them home. And so he went to his army, and 22,000 went home and left him with only 10,000. So remember, he started with 32,000 men, and now it's down to 10,000. And the Lord didn't say, okay, that's better. He said, no, it's still too many. So send them down to the river to drink, and those that lap up the water like a dog, set them aside, and those that kneel down on their knees to take a drink, then put them in another group. And so he did that. And he said that there was 300 men that had actually gone down and lapped up the water like a dog. And he said, okay, use the 300. 300 men. I don't know how many Midianites there were, but if I remember right from reading, it says that their camels' numbers were like the sands of the sea. And yeah, God used Gideon to deliver the children of Israel from the Midianites. I'm back to page 40 in the first book of Nephi here, chapter 3. And it came to pass that I beheld, I'm starting with verse 226 again. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and abominations of the whore which sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, which were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth. And their dominions upon the face of the earth were small, because of the wickedness of the great whore which I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that in that great mother of abominations did gather. Let's see. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of all the earth, among all the nations of the Gentiles, to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord, which were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. And it came to pass that I beheld that the wrath of God was poured out upon the great and abominable church, insomuch that there were wars and rumors of wars among all the nations and kindreds of the earth. And as there began to be wars and rumors of wars among all the nations which belonged to the mother of abominations, the angel spake unto me, saying, behold, the wrath of God is upon the mother of harlots, And behold, thou seest all these things. And when the day cometh that the wrath of God is poured out upon the mother of harlots, which is the great and abominable church of all the earth, whose founder is the devil, then at that day the work of the Father shall commence in preparing the way for the fulfilling of his covenants, which he hath made to his people, which are of the house of Israel. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, saying, Look, and I looked and beheld a man, and he was dressed in a white robe. And the angel said unto me, Behold, one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And I'm going to stop reading there for right now. If you look at this, it's kind of the same story. It's when things are going to appear the worst that his work will commence. Got another reading here. I want to go over to the 10th chapter of Matthew. In this occasion, Jesus has called together his 12 apostles. I'm just going to start reading, I believe, at the first verse. It says, And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And in these next three verses, he just names who those disciples were. And then I'll start reading again here with the fifth verse. It says, These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor script for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And unto whosoever, and so whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into the house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whatsoever shall not receive, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of man, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. I think I'm not going to stop. I'm going to jump over and I'm going to read to 34. I think these are sometimes the things that we're taught to forget. Not necessarily pleasant. Verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I know that what I'm reading you here in Matthew is when he sent his disciples out years and years ago. These individuals have all gone on to their reward. But things have not changed. And God has not changed. And things will be hard for us. But in the end, the victory will be the Lord's. We have to choose sides. Are we on His side? Second Nephi. Chapter 13. And I hope that you'll... I hope that it's not hard for you that I'm reading a lot. I'm not sure what needs to be added. I think it's saying what the Lord has for you to hear tonight. Verse 15 of the 13th chapter. This is page 161. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water according to His word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Let me jump out of that reading just for a moment. I'm jumping over to Romans, the 5th chapter. And just let me read just a few verses. I'm going to start with the first verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So jumping back over to the second Nephi, chapter 13. Verse 16 said that when you were baptized, following the Lord, the Savior, down into the... Well, I'll just read the verse again, verse 16. Therefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and your Savior down into the water according to His word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost that bears the love of God, that it's the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. I'm sorry. I didn't tell you where I went. I went back over and I'm reading out our 5th chapter of Romans again. I just finished reading the 7th verse and now I'm going to go on to the 8th. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I'm going back over now to the 2nd book of Nephi again and I'm going to read on. I'm going to start with verse 18. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shewn unto you, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which He hath made, that if you enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the the word of Christ with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. And what I've tried to do is, as I've read to you, is I've tried to make you understand the gravity of believing in Christ, what it means to our nation. And I've tried to help you to understand the power, the all-encompassing power of Almighty God. That He is the Creator, the Maker of all things, and He is in charge. And in the end, He will have victory. He will. But we have to choose sides. And I believe we have to be like Gideon and go forth to try to save this nation. Go forth to try to save this world. Go forth to try to save ourselves. And I'm not just talking to ministry. I believe it's clear that when you're baptized and you take upon you the name of Christ, you have responsibility. You become part of that body of Christ. And you have different responsibilities and you have different talents. But let me assure you, when you go to work, you're in His field. You are where the Lord has put you, and you are to live it and to show Him to those people by your actions, by your words. And when you go to school, you are in your field. You have a responsibility as a member of the body of Christ. You have a responsibility to the other students that you go to school with. When you are a mother and you're visiting with your friends, you are in your field. And you're responsible for those children. And you're responsible for your friends to take them the story. And I don't think that it's promised to us that it's going to be easier, that there will necessarily be a different result than persecution. But so be it. So be it. The servant is not greater than his master. And look what Jesus went through. And He went through that while we were yet sinners for the salvation of our soul. So behold the power of God. Behold His power in His church. Behold His power in you. I love each of you. Don't be afraid if you complain. Gideon complained. I complain. Many of us complain, but you gotta go on. You gotta endure to the end for the salvation of your soul, for the salvation of this nation, for the salvation of the world. And you know, it says that our numbers are few. I'm not sure it ever promises it's going to be different than that. But keep your foot in the way and set your hand to the wheel and don't refrain, because you go forth in His power. And glory be to Him.